Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi-dee, ho, everyone. My name's Mr. Fruit, and welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast. In today's episode, this is not going to come as a shock to many of you. We had several things written down. And I completely take the blame. We didn't get to much. We started talking
about a lot of lore, though. It's sick.
We started talking about hats, I think. And then somehow that led to my Pokemon TCG career, my lore,
Ultai Club,
my anime story. And then it's Hot Tie Society, please.
I bet.
And then Q&A and other things.
And then I made $10,000 from pixels.
Yeah. Rob's over here. He's eating. This man's eating. So what's not to love? You got me. I'm going to be honest. It looks like you're trying to inject something.
Not flexing, dog. What do you mean?
What is this?
That's what they do.
Oh, I think that's
I think it just means ice in your veins.
Oh, I thought that's get the needle. Put the needle in me.
Inject that shit.
Yeah, that looks like you're trying to do. Anyway, thank you very much for watching or listening. Enjoy this episode. Let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast, episode 86, I believe. 87.
Whoa,
It's 87.
You've said 86 2 weeks in a row.
Definitely 87. Let me check.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah, 87. Episode 87. It's so good to have you all here.
The first summer episode. Isn't this the first day of summer? Or the first official episode of summer, right? I don't know what the first day of summer is.
Sure, buddy.
What's the first day of summer? Oh, June 20th, my bad.
Great, dude. It's still
spring.
Do you
guys know when summer technically ends?
Somewhere in September or October.
September 22nd. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that's how long summer technically is.
Well, for me, summer is fall. Yeah, summer is end of May, June, July, and some of August because school. Yeah,
I just see summer and winter, to be honest. I don't even see spring, fall.
This podcast is brought to you by us, the boys, featuring Blue, the Michael Sarah.
Yeah.
Rob, the prepubescent voice teenager.
I'm trying to yeah, stay close to the mic so I don't have to really exert my voice. So.
He went off yesterday. He'll get in more of that later.
And it's hosted by your favorite pepperoni face.
Pepperoni face?
I'm breaking out everywhere, bro.
What
are you?
I am. And I've normally got some, but I got some omegas everywhere, man.
Is it stress?
Maybe. A week before my wedding, perfect, right?
Yeah.
It's okay. Dude, no.
I'm looking good.
It's time to implement Mr. Fruit makeup line.
Oh.
Cover your pimples for your wedding.
Well,
going to?
Purposely breaking out. If I'm looking like this on my wedding day, I'll be like, hey, babe, do you have some concealer or something? Yeah. I won't even be able to see her until the wedding that day. So I'll go to Ulta and be like, look, just fix this, please.
Please.
I need help.
All this stuff, please.
Yeah, and that's also why I'm trying to keep... The last thing I want to have happen is my voice is just All right, guys. Beautiful ceremony. Let's go to the best man for his speech. And I just, guys, thank you all for being here today. Like, nobody wants to hear that. Like, nobody.
That'd be funny.
I would be so mad. I would literally just take the mic and go, congratulations. Send it back.
I'm so happy for you guys.
Like, I'll talk to you guys later about it.
Yeah. In private, thanks. Today's episode is brought to you by the sponsors you will hear from later. And this Advanced GG I'm drinking. So,
wow, thanks, Advanced GG.
What
thanks, man.
You can get 10% off with all of our codes.
I prefer code blue.
I prefer code salt.
I prefer code fruit.
Yeah, I see the trifecta.
I see how that works.
Hold on, that the clothing thing I'm about to buy is about to drop, so I'm about to buy some clothes.
Okay.
Good luck. It's a palace drop.
Yeah, what is that? Is that
so? Like, it's a street brand called Palace, like their clothing brand, I guess. And they're having a collab with AMG Mercedes today. And my dad is a big AMG Mercedes guy.
Now that you're like an F1 aficionado, you gotta.
Yeah, but like, fuck Mercedes. Like, I'm not.
Right, but we hate.
No, we don't like Mercedes. They just win all the time. Like, nobody likes that. Unless we're the Patriots.
I was gonna say, what?
They're dropping like this leather jacket, and my dad stands leather jackets. Like, you see an old man in a leather jacket, an old Colombian man walking that's around in a leather jacket. That's
him.
Probably my dad.
That's
my dad. He literally has literally the same kind of tone. Like, it's like a tones of brown leather jacket. Like, and he's like, this tone.
Just like, whoosh, like, which one today?
Yeah, he loves them.
I'm
trying to get him that. I'm trying to get a skateboard as well.
There are
a
lot of
tiger eye
apparel items. Like, okay. See, ready? This is going to be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. I got a big head, man. And
Big head, big brain.
So hats have just never worked with me.
Dude, I do not know why you are on this hill. You look like a normal person with a hat on. Yes, you do. You just look normal.
Dude, I'm...
That's because you put it on weird. I'll put it on over your head.
That's because it won't fit like that.
Yes, it will. See, look, you just look like a normal person.
Well, I mean, okay, like, take it off. Stupid. Take it off.
Okay.
You look normal.
Okay, you look like a 26-year-old man. All right, now put it on.
Okay.
You look like a 16-year-old boy. If you didn't have a beard.
Hold on, take off the glasses.
It. Hold on.
Maybe it's. Oh, see, there you can now take off your glasses.
Now you look fucking. Now that's now you look cool. Now that's cool.
Now I'm like mid-30s.
Yo, you can work the backwards hat.
Hold on. Straight up. You got it. Glasses off. I need to see the fit without the glasses, just so you know.
Okay.
See, he just looks like a normal person.
You kind of look hot.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
You kind of look hot. Like,
you
kind of
look like LeBron, dude.
Can you give me one of these?
Yeah,
someone can Photoshop sleeves on you?
Bro, Mr. Fruit's hot.
Blue, your mic is like super fucked, by the way. I think Discord
fucked
your
mic.
Sorry. It's okay.
My point stands.
Yeah, you look actually pretty good.
I think the problem is the glasses for sure. It doesn't help. Like, maybe I need glasses to fit the hat style.
I actually liked the. Okay, hold on. It just dropped. Do you want to know how much this jacket is? I'm not buying it. You want to know how much that jacket is?
Triple
probably nearly $900 and like almost a grand. Yeah,
just
sorry, Dad.
I love you, Dad, but not that much.
My dad a large or extra large?
I'd say large.
Large?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry,
I just don't think. Maybe the problem isn't. I think I do have a bigger head, but maybe it's just the glasses. Kind of just mess with them. Say something again.
Hello, my name is Blue Weslow.
And... Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, it's better. Okay. Yeah, I know. Just me and hats, man. We don't vibe.
I remember you at Pack South. You had this whole conversation with us, and you were like, I just look stupid in hats. And then me and Ab were just like, okay, put a hat on, because we went to like some at the mall.
And I looked dumb.
And both of us at the same time were like, you just look like you're wearing a hat. I don't see what the problem is.
I can't wear hats forward. If I wear a hat forward, I look like a fucking 5-year-old.
I will say you look better with the backwards hat than a forwards hat. Yeah.
Especially with the strap back. No, and if okay, this is just a PSA to everybody out there. If you wear a backwards cap with the buck, the ones which the, what is that one called? It's not a strap back, just whatever a
snapback or whatever.
Don't snapbacks. Yeah, don't wear a snapback backwards. That is just a fashion no-no.
It's got to be strapped, dude.
Yeah, like it's strap backs like back. Panel. Yeah, or just like yeah, or just a hat. Like just no strap back backwards. That is just a no-no.
Pro tip,
and that is all. That's a no-no as well.
See, like loose. Okay, you got to wear it looser on your head, though. Like,
everything's sold out.
Throw it backwards a little looser on the head. See, there you go. You get a little hair up there.
Yeah. Well,
see? Okay, now backwards.
I don't know.
Now get like a little higher. See? Look at that.
Nah, it just looks like I have a billboard for a forehead.
Okay, well, put your hair down.
If I can get this hoodie, it'll be a W.
Okay, so bring your here. I'm gonna edit. I'm an editor here. Oh, there you go.
Why the fuck does everything sell out so fucking quick?
Rob, look at this. This is peak hat, Mr. Fruit. See that?
That is pretty tight.
That is pretty tight.
Hey, for audio listeners, you are missing out.
You are really
dialing these.
You're missing fashion
looks. See, that honestly looks like you've worn that your whole life. Like I'm even notice a difference.
So fucking triggered.
I don't know. I guess I don't know. Me and hats, we just don't vibe, man. Oh, maybe I don't look that bad, but
hey, Stan Chat, how good does Fruit look with the backward cap hat loose fitted on his head?
It's very specific. Wear a hat, loose fit, snap back.
Let him know, Chat. Backwards. Looks good.
Why does everything I want always just sell out in 5 fucking seconds, and I just don't ever have anything to ever get anything that I fucking want? It's like Pokemon cards for you guys.
10 out of 10 would simp. Okay, well I got a hat now. I got
you look good with a backwards hat.
Let me find a hat.
Looks yeah, good.
But I think Claire Claire always said that like I look like the douchey guy when I wear it backwards.
Well, yeah, I feel like you wear it like very.
Yeah,
like,
you want like check this out. Like I hate hats. Like I don't hate hats. Like I can wear a hat backwards, but I just don't like to. But if wearing them forward, bro, check it.
You look like you shop at Zoomies.
I literally look like I'm 14.
You look like a baby. Okay, let's see the background.
I literally look like I'm 14.
You look like you're ready to make your first skateboard video.
Wait, we gotta see the backwards fit.
Oh, backwards flow?
Yeah, we gotta see the backwards fit.
Yeah, it's nice.
That looks like
yeah. Wrong. See, backwards flow is cool. Like, but just do it again. A little
just
bit. Like
just wanted a quick comparison. Yeah. Oh my god! No, stop.
Okay, well, raise it a little bit. Like,
what was that?
Yeah, raise it a little bit.
Raise it a little bit. Don't like, do it. Yeah, like loose spit maybe at the front. See, that's fine.
No, this is not that's fine.
But okay, but it's not as bad as the other alternative,
that's bad.
You just look like a child.
Well, see, for me, I just never felt like flat brims. I felt like I can, if I was ever going to wear a hat, I feel like that's the worst one I could wear.
I mean, flat brims were like a trend. I feel like flat brims have been on their way out for a long time.
Yeah. And what's your guys' opinion on the sticker on the brim? You guys like sticker on brim?
I've never cared.
I'm not a sticker.
If I have a hat, I'm taking off.
Used to be sticker on brim, but then I grew up and I just don't even buy flat caps
anymore. Sticker on brim.
Yeah, I feel bad whenever like companies like Astro send me hats because like, I'm sorry Astro, I'm not gonna wear them. Like,
well, current sent me this, and this is wisely probably the first hat I've.
Yeah,
really
I saw
received.
Your ad read for it. It was actually really funny. You looked good in it, like actually. See, but I like hats like that. Like that is actually I think more stylish than like a flat brim like this.
But now, because flat's just out of style now.
Flat's been out of style for a while, to be honest.
Yeah, I think like flat, like kind of went out of style like 2014, 2015. Honestly,
I haven't really.
It was that Cookie Monster flat, dude. That Cookie Monster fit just killed it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like flat bat or like the flat one and like the sticker kind of started when like Soulja Boy Tellem came out or whatever.
Like 2006 ish.
Yeah, that was when it kind of popped off.
I never really had hats because I just refused. The one hat I did wear, I doubt I have it anymore, was like, you know, those like, I don't know what they're called. They're like super duper fuzzy, like Russian hats, you know, that have like the little flaps over here.
Those are
like,
cool. Those are cool.
I wore that one to all my Pokemon tournaments.
Oh, you were that guy. They were like,
you
oh,
were that guy. Whoa.
And that I don't know if to talk about, I was part of the Hot Thai Society. We're like the Pokemon gang.
In high school?
No, like at tournaments.
Oh.
So it was like this Colorado group. And I was invited in. It was like you can't just, like, if someone brought a tie, like, bro, you're not a part of the Hot, like, take
that off. Are you still like in contact with any of them?
No.
No.
Aww. Good guys. I don't know what they're up to. Hope they're doing well. But yeah, they invited me once they started realizing I was real. Because they're all masters. They're all masters players, except for one, Kevin.
Oh.
And Kevin was in seniors. Again, the wording of it never made sense because you would think seniors is the oldest division, but it's not. It was junior, seniors, masters. I was in the seniors division. Everyone in Hot Thai Society was in masters except for Kevin. And his older brother was in masters, but Kevin was like my rival. He was my Gary.
Oh.
Like I was Ash, he was Gary kind of thing.
How old are you? Wait, how old is Kevin and how old are you when you guys are rivals?
We're like same age.
Which is? Ah.
I'm 26 now, so 14, 15.
Oh, dang. You're still playing Pokemon then.
Yeah, and so.
That wasn't like a sneak diss or anything. I was just like, oh, I didn't know you were playing Pokemon that long. Like, I just thought it was seventh grade.
Well, no, until freshman year. I don't know. I can't remember what age I was during.
Okay.
So up until freshman year, high school. So I came into the scene, you know, grassroots, from my friend's basement, me and him. I talked about it like the first tournament we went to. No sleeve deck. What was I doing? Showing up, just I was the guy that was like, I like Dragonite. I like this. I like this.
And they let you into that club?
Well, not yet. That's what I'm saying. So I came here. I remember playing this guy with Lugia EX. And I was like, what the fudge is this game? And it turns out some stupid tryhard in seniors division at the time was using literally the meta deck. It's what won Worlds that year. And I'm over here like, Feraligatr! Just got absolutely
Bellsprout.
Pooped. Yeah, Bellsprout. And so after that, I was like, okay, like, this is a whole different game. So while others had relationships, I studied the blade.
Yeah.
And worked on my decks and slowly, very slowly, taught myself. And then, boom, come back next season. Because that was towards the end of that whatever.
Oh, you had like a whole training arc.
Though. Yeah, I really did. Like, it's really sad because I didn't have anyone. I'm talking like when training arc was me sitting and then setting up two decks horizontally in front of me, playing both decks, just playing myself.
Like to the best you could.
Like that's kind of sick though. Like you're just playing with yourself, like to become a master.
But I literally had to like, I had to either think of my own decks or like, I think I remember, and I would have to like, if I didn't have the card, I'd write what it did and then play with it. And then I'd have to
with myself, but it was kind of a different kind of play.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
That hat fits, you know. And then it was hard because like I would have to play like I didn't know what the other hand was, but I did know. So I'd be like, okay, in this case, if I didn't know this, what would I do? Let's go back.
That is pretty cool though, because then like you learn everything, like what different kind of plays you would do and stuff.
So then new season starts. Boom, come out the gates. I'm with my friend Matt, who's always driving with me. His dad always drove us. Thanks, Matt's dad.
His name?
Greg.
Oh, no, I said that's his name is Matt's dad.
Oh, yeah, that's his name, Matt's dad.
Thanks, Matt's
and,
dad.
And ironically, he always got upset at me. I think I talked about this because Matt would normally not make it through Swiss. Love the guy, but he wouldn't really make top cut. So, like, imagine there's pools, and then top cut is just, you know, like single elimination playoffs. Like, if you make it there, it's called top cut because you have to make the top cut. Depending on how many people there are, you have to make top four or top eight.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And I would almost always top cut, and I would probably usually make finals. And so what that meant was top cut games were like an hour 15, And then you got to go from like top 8 to top 4 to blah, blah, blah. So it would take like 4 extra hours. And Matt's dad always got upset at me because Matt was already eliminated. So he's like, why the fudge am I here? This isn't my kid. Like, whatever. My kid lost. Let's go. But yeah, eventually I started getting pretty good and I was always making finals. But the person I would literally, it was like, if I'm in finals, odds are if I didn't fight Kevin in semis, it's Kevin. I'm fighting him in finals. Yeah. And so
was there loser brackets or winners or no?
No, once you go to top cut single elimination.
Okay.
And so it was always just back and forth, me, Kevin. And so his like people in Masters started taking notice because I was like, who's this guy? And then, because I remember like the first time, they're like,
who is this kid? Who is he?
We were at a Brunswick Zone, which is like this bowling place. And I beat him in the finals. And I remember he like sits up and the guy goes like, who is that? Like, how'd you just lose?
Whoa.
I'm like, what deck did you have? It was Gengar Crobat deck. It was sick.
Okay.
It was like a super Omega Head deck too, because the Crobats you only have in there because you rare candy them. And when you rare candy them, they have an ability where you can put like 3 damage counters however you want in the enemy team. And then Gengar would do like X amount of damage to anybody depending on how many damage counters they'd have. So you have to like spread the damage and think about like, okay, I need this here, blah, blah, blah. And then Gengar, sick. Anyway, so eventually they took notice. And after I beat Kevin a couple times, they're like, dude, you want to be a part of the Hot Tie Society? And they all live down in Colorado Springs. And you see, I feel like I didn't get enough credit for winning all these tournaments or getting to finals and losing to Kevin, because Kevin had his Hot Tie Society. So every week, like 2 to 3 nights.
Oh, he would like practice with those guys.
In the Springs, he's playing with Masters, who are supposed to be better players. And they have every card, every deck. And there's like 10 to 12 of them. So they're getting to play each other, test matchups all the time. And again, I'm sitting in my room making janky things, trying to be like, okay, well, I think this. Or like if Kevin just recently played a deck, I'd be like, okay, well, what do I do against this deck? Like, I haven't seen this archetype before. What do I do? And so then, of course, he comes in there. And they're like, they'll literally like start the match. Or you have to like sign up at the tournament. So like, yo, which one do I do? Like, which one should I play today? And they have like 12 different decks. I have one deck that I could barely make. Like,
it's like SpongeBob when he's doing the Krabby Patties. And yeah. And what's his face makes a bunch of Krabby Patties.
I don't remember.
And SpongeBob just has his one little Krabby Patty.
That's it. Like, cause like I could never commit to anything. It's like if I was going this day, that meant I have pooled all my resources to make this one deck. And so yeah, anyway, eventually they invited me. So I was Hot Tie.
Did you get your cards from just opening packs too? Like, did you?
Yeah, that was the other thing. The only way I got cards was by winning. I sustained myself because if you win, you get packs. And that was the only way I'd get cards. I didn't have money.
This story is literally an anime arc, and you're like...
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've all been there too. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your bad habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning, flavored air device that does that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural and instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. I love how this thing looks. It's beautiful and real wood. The shape of it is so cool, and I look cool using it. So if you want to be like me and break your bad habit, start the year off right with the good habit by trying fume.com/GG and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off whenever they use the code GG to help make starting the good habit that much easier. So make sure you guys check it out in the description. Try fume.com/GG. So you, your parents didn't buy you any cards? Rarely?
My dad bought me one. And it was because we were going to the national championships in Ohio.
That's when he buys you one. He's like, all right.
He buys you one little pack.
Well, he's like, you got everything you need? And I was like, actually, I think I'm missing one card. He's like, okay, I'll order it. Bless my dad. I told him I needed the Dialga EX. At the time, it was like Dialga Level X. Mm. He's like, okay. Like, I can get you that. It arrives. Bless his heart. He got me a Dialga. But it was not the right card. It was just like basic Dialga. No one, you don't use this card. Like, that's not the...
Yeah.
And so I was like, thanks, Dad. And when I got to the tournament, I had like an hour to sign up, and I'm going to everybody like, please, do you have an extra dial? Like, bro. So I forget how I did it. I had to like trade half my life savings. But I got one Dialga. I got second that, or no. No, that was Nationals. Yeah, the reason I feel bad too, so we go to Ohio for the Nationals. I think I talked about this. This was the year right before freshman year of high school, when I should not have quit, but I went into that championship, national championship, rated second in North America. And
this is so anime.
I know. And the crazy thing too is like, I'm this nobody from
Colorado.
Don't
tell me it's Kevin there waiting for you.
No. I'm this nobody from Colorado. And what I realized was the first match I sit down and the guy goes, of course I have to play you. And I'm like, what? He goes like, you're like number two in North America, man.
You're
I know
like
all
Beth
about
Hammond.
You. Yeah, and like at this point, people knew my name. And I was like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's when
they're
I was
like, you're
oh,
Mr.
Shoot.
Fruit, right?
Yeah, people were like, oh my God. So I went through Swiss. It was like 9 rounds. I think I went 8-1. And I particularly remember this one match, though. I feel really bad about it. I stalled it, dude. I had to.
No, Mr. Fruit.
I saw. And for those that don't know, I essentially timed him out. You have like in Swiss, it's best of one. It's different now, but it was best of one. You had like 45 minutes to play a game. And his deck pooped on mine. Like it was just a straight counter. So I had to swindle. It was dirty, but I essentially timed out every single turn I could. So there's like a rough thing where like...
You roped?
I roped every time. But see, in Pokemon, there's not like a set amount of
rope
time
turn
you have.
Two?
You don't have a set amount of time for a turn. It's normally like if you don't take an action within X amount of seconds, It's like stalling.
Well, that's when you got that penalty, right?
At this new one, yeah. Which was bizarre because I wasn't stalling. So this one, no, I was purposefully stalling. Because you got to play to your outs, right? And I realized my only out... is I got like a couple knockouts early. So I'm ahead on prizes. And I'm like, the only way I win this is if I can stall this out. So I purposefully took as much time in between every turn I could. And he was like, bro, can you like hurry up? I'm like, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Like just, I got a lot. Like, okay. Yeah, yeah. My bad. I was just thinking about a lot of stuff. Yeah.
And then
I'm
just like,
and then I do a
you're
thing.
You're like, turn 7, Dr. Doom. Like,
that's well, like you like, I try and play a card, but like take it back. And I'm like really thinking. Or I'll just play like a supporter I don't even need to play just to like kind of look through my deck, shuffle, blah, blah, blah. And so eventually he calls over a judge. But at this point, it was his mistake. Stupid. He waited too long. Because he didn't wait until you get the warning that the game's almost over. And that's like 5 minutes. So he's like, judge, like I think he's stalling. So unfortunately, because he called that and the judge comes over, he got 5 minutes. Extension. So I was like, oh shoot, like I don't know if I can do this.
So fucked.
And I stalled him out to be one prize ahead when extra time was called.
Was he upset?
He was so pissed. And his friend came over, was like, dude, you're
BM.
A jerk.
Yeah, like,
yeah. And I was like, Yeah. You do what you got to do, man.
Hey, don't hate the player, bro. Hate the game.
And number two for a reason.
Hey, baby. Actually, but like literally, I never did that before. Looking back, like that was never
that was your first BM?
Yeah, and I trust me, I felt dirty about it. And in hindsight, I actually shouldn't have because the karma gods. Let's see. So I ended 8-1.
Oh, that's when you got cheated out, right? Like we all know.
So then top 64 was the next day. Or no, it was top 32 was the next day, but top 64 was that night to determine who would be top 32 the next day. And I got third. So I was third out of 64. I was like, we're sitting pretty, dude. So I have to play, what, the 61st seed or whatever going in the top cut? Turns out to be the one deck in all of top 64 that is a hard counter to my archetype. Like, he literally brought that deck to beat the deck I was playing, right?
You were playing aggro. He had control.
Essentially. It was Monarch. It was Nidoking, Nidoqueen deck. It's a stupid... Ooh. Yeah.
Kings and Queens is what I call that deck.
Just a stupid... And, like, I was like, easy. And we started the game, and he turned over, and I saw the Nidoran, and I thought...
No. No! No!
It was very anime. I was like, this is it. And I didn't stand a chance. Like, he barely squeaked into 64 because all the other ones didn't even make it.
Yeah.
And I got swept 2-0, top 64.
And that was it?
And I was out. I was so pissed.
Can you find, like, public records on these? Like, is there, like, an archive of, like...
Bulbapedia used to have them. Like, I can probably find you the one of, like, me and Worlds.
But, like, no demos or anything like that?
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Well, the unlucky part, too, is they didn't start doing live streamings and recordings until I was done.
I mean, Justin TV was probably, like, what was around that time.
It was unfortunate. Because it also would have been nice to study those games. That's what it would have been a lot better than me just playing.
You still have those cards?
For those specific decks?
I don't know. You just have those cards from then.
Somewhere I do have a good bit. Let's see, what worlds was I in? Pokemon Championships 2008, maybe.
I mean, we were, yeah, if we were in eighth grade, 2008, yeah.
Let's see,
we were 14.
Oh, yeah, because there was one other dude, that they eventually added to the Hot Tie Society. His name was Tristan Robinson, he was in juniors, cool kid. He won worlds, with our deck. Yeah, what a legend.
You practice with them or practice with him?
No, I didn't get out of practice with anyone because everyone's in the Springs.
Yeah. And this is like before like Discord and stuff. We're like, hey, you want to like Skype tonight? Yeah,
there's none of that. There's no online and everyone's, you know, 2 hours away from me and I don't have a license. Can't drive.
Yeah. And like, hey, mom, dad, can you drive me to Tristan's house to go play Pokemon for 2 hours?
So I put the link. So if you click that. So the first single elimination bracket, junior division, you'll see Tristan. He went all the way, my man. And then senior division, you'll see me getting dicked by Curran Hill, dude. He cheated me, and I'm never going to let him live it down.
Let me see.
I got cheated.
Wait, where am I? Well, Masters division, right?
No, seniors. So go up.
Oh, senior. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, there it is, Curran Hill. They had Curran Hills as the 2 seed and you as the 18, though.
That's because of not...
Oh, where he finished or something?
Where you finished in Swiss going into...
Oh, so you want to be the... Okay.
Well, because it was top 32. I won my top 32 match, so I went to 16. So I entered top 32 as the 18th seed.
Oh, I see.
And he entered as the second seed.
Oh.
Literally... Yeah, I'm still upset about it. He cheated. And this isn't even like a... Bro, I lost. He cheated. I'm not even memeing. He cheated.
Did you hear that, Curran Hill?
Yeah, you hear that? You cheating bitch.
Because guess what? Where is the efficacy here? They, in Worlds, especially at these top cut matches, they have a judge sit at every single match.
Is normally, that the most nervous you've been, like, in your life?
I was pooping myself. Think? Yeah. But actually, that round I wasn't because... I brought to this, I think I talked about this, in this meta of Pokemon, there was the Gardevoir deck called GG. and I'm not kidding you, stupidest meta ever. Like, literally 96% of decks you find at any tournament in any division is this Gardevoir deck. It was just broken. So I go to Worlds with a deck literally meant to beat Gardevoir. Up until that point, I fought like 7 in Swiss. Just destroyed them all, as I should. Top 32 match was like some bizarre deck. It's like, how the fudge did you make it here? But then top 16, Curran Hill, Gardevoir. So I was cool as a cucumber. I was like, this is literally what I was meant to do. And like three-fourths of the decks in top cut were Gardevoir. I did the math, and I was like, okay, if I beat him here, I think every deck I play now is like Gardevoir. Like, this is it.
I know what deck you played in World Championships 2008. You played a Caesar Toxicroak.
Because Tristan won with it.
Wow. I just looked up like your name and then Pokemon, and then there's this deck on Banbliss. Did you play this? 4 Bennett, 4 Shroopert, 3 Blissey, 3 Chansey, 1 Mew.
Where do you see that?
It's like I typed deck, in. Bro? Wait. Yeah, I typed in. It says Christian Miller Banbliss.
Wait, link.
And then it.
Oh my god!
Did I just open a Pandora box?
Wait a second, because Banbliss.
Yeah, I just typed in your name and then Pokemon.
Wait,
and then like,
how did they even get my? Where did they get this?
And then it says like last chance qual. And then it says last chance qualifier 2008 Banbliss.
I feel violated. I thought this was like. I thought this was because, like, back in the day, I'd do deck reports. So, like, after a tournament, you'd be like, yeah, this is what I played. Here's how it went, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't do one for this because the thing is, this Worlds, I didn't qualify because Worlds is the only tournament that's invitation only, right? Like, it's the best of the best. So, there's a last chance qualifier right before where I think 4 people make it in. And in the last chance qualifier, I think I was one of like 600 people. So the odds of you making it are just like it's like it's not going to happen. And so I brought this Banbliss deck. I can't believe.
Yeah, it's crazy. Christian Miller Banbliss.
Like, this is what the exact deck I used.
Yeah, because I was like, 4 Bennett, and then you're like, and then you went.
Like, yeah, I was like, wait a second. And so I played this Bennett Blissey, which is funny. Because I came to this last chance qualifier. Never got to practice because I would try and play. Matt came with me. He was doing the last chance qualifier too. And I would try and practice with him. But I would beat him game one. And he just like, this is so stupid. I'm over it. And so he wouldn't practice with me. So again, I had to resort to playing by myself. And at the time, this deck was considered like tier 4. Like pretty bottom of the barrel. Like I told people what I was playing, because a lot of the guys in the Hot Tie Society were there. Because like Kevin had already qualified. He was in World. And then a lot of the Masters players had already qualified. They're like, yo, Christian, you made it? I'm like, no, I'm in last chance qualifier. Like, ugh, good luck, dude. And like, what are you using? I was like, Bayonet Blissey. And he's like, what? Like, that's bring trash. That. Yeah, they're like, are you sure about that? Like, not a good read on the meta, bro. Guess what? I went undefeated against all odds, and I qualified. That's how I got in the Worlds.
So this Banbliss, it means a lot to you.
That Banette Blissey. And then the other thing I don't think people realize is, so that Toxicroak Scizor deck I played, they gave it to me the night after Last Chance Qualifiers. Because Last Chance Qualifiers ended like 10 p.m. the night before Worlds. I qualified. It was crazy. And then one of the Hot Tie guys who tried Last Chance Qualifier didn't make it. And they're like, dude, we got this secret deck we're bringing tomorrow. Like, you want it? And I was like,
yes.
I was like, show it to me. And they showed me this Toxicroak Scizor deck. And you know me and Krogunk. So I'm like, okay, go on, son. And they're like, we made it to beat Gardevoir. And at this point, no one had ever heard it. Like, I can't even really...
You guys are like the in King or Queen's Gambit, like that little team that like
kind of like they essentially figured out a way to like break the system. They're like, we found a deck, and the guy that went in last chance qualifiers, for instance, he didn't play that deck just because he didn't want people to know about it. And he didn't make it. Like, he probably would have qualified had he used it, but then everyone would have known about it.
Yeah.
It's like, it goes deep. Because then people would tech for it, and that's a whole other thing. But so no one heard about this thing, and they're like, here's the deck. So I decide to go into Worlds the next day with a deck I've never seen or played before. We played one practice match in a hotel before I went to bed, and that was it. That was my entire experience with the deck. And I remember game one, Worlds. I'm fighting this chick from like Switzerland or something. She turns over a Ralts. Guardy Glade, baby. And I think I flip over Krogunk. And she audibly goes, what? And I proceed to poop on her. But yeah, that was that World's Adventure.
And dude, Pokemon is hardcore. This is like...
Yeah, you don't know, man. It goes hard, bro. There's
do you know what you were ranked at Worlds? I have it right here. What like your ranking was going into Worlds?
No idea.
322. So like it's like a bunch of ties. So like 200, like dang. Number one is Sammy Sikoum, and then two is Jason Kalansky.
Jason, he's a Masters player. He's won like three Worlds. He's crazy. Where do you see this?
Pokemon TCG Archive. What world the? Player rank. And then I type your name, and it's like your United States ranking. Like, let's see that.
Well, see, yeah, that was my first year playing.
That's yeah. So like I was 154. Rough. Yeah.
So I was not.
And then see if you recognize any of these names. Ross Cawthon.
He's one.
He was second. Two or three. Michael Pramawat.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Dolzal.
I don't know that one.
Jeremy Maron. I'm trying to see if I can find a Kevin.
There was, I got to meet my hero, my senpai, at that Worlds tournament. Yamato, what was his last name?
Kevin Nijuin or Kevin Bennett?
No.
Or Kevin Jackson, Kevin Nance. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I'm not going to dox him because it'd be easier to find him. Yeah. Is Yamato, what was his name? He was this Masters player from Japan, though. And I always had these little pamphlets from like previous Worlds, and he'd like won one of them.
Tushigo Yoshi Yamato.
That might be it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was ranked third. He played a.
In Japan? Yeah.
He played a magma deck, it says, or something like that.
Oh, that would have been not the Worlds.
Oh, that says 2004.
Yeah. But I think that might have been the one he won or whatever. But I had a little pamphlet, like I looked up to him. I was like, yo, this dude's like so sick. I got to meet him. It was surreal. And So I didn't even get back to the story. The reason I know he cheated. So we get to top 16 world. So once you get in the top cut, normally when you're playing, they're just judges roaming, right? And no, they're like taking notes. So they'll just watch, but they usually wait for like people to be like judge. And then they'll come help figure out rules or disputes, or whatever. But when you get the top cut, especially at Worlds, every table has at least one judge just watching the entire game. Well, this kid I'm playing from, I forget, it was like Oklahoma or something. You know who sits at our table? The head judge for Oklahoma. From like his home region. And they're sitting there.
I see.
Yeah. As we're sitting there, they're like, they're joking around. They're having all these things. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, sus, man.
I don't like that, yeah.
Uh-uh.
Fucks up with that.
But I'm like, whatever, dude. You've got Guardy Glade. Like, you're done for. And I kid you not. Best of three. We go all three games. And every single game, he gets the best possible draw every single time. And I even had people from Colorado watching because at this point, the only people left are me and Tristan.
He's top decking.
Yeah, but...
Almost like with like dream top decking.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean. Exactly. But almost like he might have a little plug-in or something. So essentially, it seemed he was like stacking the deck. And so I eventually lost. And I hadn't even said anything. And as soon as I got out, some of my friends were like, dude, something was up. Like, we saw the way he was like pulling cards and stuff and the way he was drawing.
Were you able not to call shenanigans or anything like that?
No.
No.
Because I talked to the head judge, whatever, and he's like, I watched the whole thing, man, clean. A little bit of biasy. Really, yeah. You don't see, like, some sort of
If someone is like top decking, that's one thing. But if it's like every single
three
time
games, and I'm not, it's not like, oh, he's got a pretty good hand. I mean, like, he has the perfect hand for every, and I still beat him one of the games. But if he just missed like one draw on any of those, I move on. Still upset.
Would you have beaten Dylan Bryan?
Well, that's the funny thing. When I said almost every deck there was Guardy Glade, Dylan Bryan was the one that was not. And I would have actually lost to Dylan. He had, funnily enough, he brought Scizor Electrode.
Won. Oh, no, he didn't win. Dylan LaFleur won. Mm-hmm.
He brought Scizor Electrode. So unknowingly, without talking to anybody else, he brought essentially my deck minus the Toxicroak. Because he had the same idea. But he had Electrodes, which could kill. Because the problem is my deck had no killing power if you weren't Guardy Glade. So I would have lost to him. But I would have been fine losing to that.
You'd have been like, ah, finally, a worthy match.
Yeah, a worthy opponent. I'll gladly die at your blade.
Toxicroak.
So you had to wear a tie when you played?
Yeah, I wore a little tie. I think I had my hat.
And that's how we got to this.
Yeah, that was...
And
sorry
that's how
about
Mr.
that.
Fruit, and that's how Mr. Fruit went on a 40-minute Pokemon TCG talk.
No, dude, that was sick. Well, dude, we found this, like, this crazy Pokemon TCG archive.
Yeah, I
you
can't believe
it was
found
the script read for the Pokemon TCG movie.
Yeah, I'll accept royalties. But Nadi, I'm telling you, it was so much. Like, I'm so upset that I quit. I wish I kept going. It's a lot of fun, because like, I also just like competition. Like, that was the thing. Like, back then, that gave me that itch.
Yeah.
And
then Halo 3 so you fun. Discovered.
Well, actually, that was around Halo 3. I was playing Halo 3 around the same time. But then I gave
you
up the cards.
You chose the Halo 3 career? You said, you
yeah,
know, I'm going to put all my...
That one didn't pan out as well. That one...
put my ex in the Halo 3 basket.
I'm saying, Pokemon card game. Competitive. It went hard, dude. No joke. That's sick. Yeah. That was back when I used to be somebody. It's great.
Yeah, Dylan LaFleur won with an Empoleon deck blue.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. You can actually buy technically the deck I played because they sell the winner's decks of Worlds every year with like their autographs on each card.
Oh, they do.
And so they printed Tristan's deck, which is the deck I used. So
interesting.
I think we called it Blubbering Intimidation because it was Krogunk. And yeah, you could buy. I think there was like one card difference we had. But the funny thing was when Tristan was playing it, because like back at the time, like the people seen as the best at TCG, I don't know if this is still the same, are the Japanese. And they always bring out like crazy decks or like define the meta. Like Guardy Glade came from them. And part of that's due to the fact that their rotation works a little bit differently, but they also get sets like 4 months ahead of us. So we usually look to see what they've been playing because they usually have a better idea. But when Tristan was playing those finals, you have like at this point like five judges all around you. It's actually, in this case, it was being broadcast to us on like a projector so we could watch. But the Japanese, they were called Pokemon professors, but the judges... When he like was playing and they pulled over, like he revealed Krogunk. They're all like, oh,
yeah,
they're all like talking with each other. And they were all like super confused. And they're like, how? And I just like to think that they're like, we purposefully make Krogunk useless. How are they doing well with this card? And yeah, Tristan got lucky. He played Guardy Glade in the finals and absolutely pooped on the poor kid.
Yeah, I'm Tristan Robinson beat Takuto Itakagi. Hopefully I'm saying that right. I'm probably not. But it says Tristan brought a Scizor Toxicroak Electrode deck.
We did have one Electrode for some kill power.
Why didn't you have an Electrode then?
No, I did. But the problem is Dylan...
It doesn't say you had one in yours.
Dylan Bryan's was 4 Electrode, 4 Scizor. He didn't have any Toxicroak. But no, I think I had one Voltorb, 1 Electrode as a tech. For certain things, but that's the thing. Like, that was my only kill power against non-meta decks. So Dylan would have just...
Do you hang in the Masters Division nowadays?
I have no idea. I mean, nowadays, no, I got no idea what's going on.
You don't even know what, like, the meta is?
No. I'd have a hard time. Well, I tried to go to that stupid Nationals, and then I get timed out.
Oh, yeah. That's your last. Is that your last Pokemon game you played?
Uh-huh.
Like, competitive?
Well, that one specific wasn't, but that tournament, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. It's just so hard to keep up.
Well, and, like, nowadays to get packs and, like, to for all that kind of stuff.
I feel like all the people
especially
who actually
like the junior divisions, like,
probably crying. The junior division is hilarious though, because you either have a master's person coaching their kid, so they just have the absolute most meta deck possible, or you have Jimmy from down the street who like had decks like me, like I've got Totodile, I've got do I attack an energy? What do I do? How do I play this game? And it was always just one way.
You either get a clown fiesta or
It was hilarious. Yeah, that was my Pokemon rant.
So powerful.
The event Pokemon there was a Lucario, if you wanted to know that.
Well, I don't know. You could probably try and so I got like a special for getting top 16. I got a special edition DS. It's like a DS Lite that was orange with like the Pokemon Worlds icon on it. Who knows what that's selling for now? Because if you think about it, there's only 48 in the world.
That's what I'm about to look up.
Probably not as much as CS:GO skins, but
which is another story in itself.
You only look at Nintendo.
Stop.
Nintendo. DS Pokemon World Championship 2008.
Yeah,
I got one on eBay going for $2,500.
Wow. So, and yours is probably like dead stock too, like never even like taking out the thing or anything.
Oh, no.
Oh, you played the shit out of it?
Yeah, because I thought about it. Oh, yeah, it looks so cool. I was like, I can let this sit in a box. Or I could just use it. Because that was the thing, too. Like,
it's hard so hard as a kid to like have a DS.
I didn't have a DS either. I was like, well, screw it. I'm going to play with it. And so, like, it's definitely.
Did your parents have to approve of the DS first before you got to play it?
No.
Okay.
But I wasn't just going to let it sit there.
That's hard. Like, as a kid, it's impossible.
I got that, and then I got every year you get specific Pokemon cards. Tropical Wind is what they're called, and it would be printed with how far you got on it. So I got like one Tropical Wind with top 32 on it, Tropical Wind with top 16 on it, and then Tropical Wind in like every language. But you obviously can get all the way to like Tropical Wind finalist or winner.
Yeah.
And even back then, those were going for quite a bit.
Tropical what?
Tropical Wind, so I know like
Wind top 32 card Pokemon. Let's see if we can. Here's a Tropical Wind. No,
here we have 2008 Pokemon Japanese World Championship promo. Not even a finalist or anything. $900.
Here's I think I just found it. Let me see if this is it.
Like, this doesn't even have...
This says $3,500 was the last sale.
For what? What was it? Like, a finalist?
2009 Tropical Worlds 09 Top 32.
Only Top 32? Sheesh!
Yeah, Mint 9. Yeah. Where are yours?
To be fair, I never played with those or anything, so those might actually be...
In good condition.
Decent condition. If you guys want to talk about something, I can probably find it in like 3 minutes, but
I have been recently investing into CS:GO skins, as you guys might know. I think I talked about it a little bit. In January, I bought two. This is going to sound crazy. All right. I saved a lot of my ad revenue. Okay, everybody, just remember that.
Okay.
So I bought two skins because I love CS:GO, but I'm terrible. I'm so bad. Don't think like I'm really good at CS:GO. I'm awful. Very bad. I only have 700 hours. I try. So I bought these two skins. One's called a Wild Lotus AK. It's field tested, 0.19. All right, good float.
All right, that's a good. That's,
like, I bought it for $1,400 in January.
Oh my God.
Okay, yeah, I bought it for $1,400. And then I bought an M4A4 Howl, 0.23 float. Shout out MJ. And I bought that for $1,800. So I bought two CSGO skins for about $3,200. Blue, would you like to guess how much those skins cost in today's CSGO market?
Okay, give me the first rundown again. I was like, okay.
So I spent
$1,400,
and then the next one was $1,800.
And the next was $1,800. Now I'm gonna guess. CSGO skins obviously go away and come back, but you know, like so their value fluctuate. I'm gonna say, first one is worth $1,800. Second one is worth $3,000.
Okay. So the Wild Lotus that I bought for $1,400,
mm-hmm.
I could sell right now, and it would sell in a heartbeat. I could sell for, oh, it just went up to this morning too. I could sell it for, come on, Buff, $6,700.
Bro, what the fuck?
I could sell it for $6,700.
Oh my God.
And then the Howl that I bought, which was the $1,800 one, I could sell that for $6,200.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the reason that is the CSGO market recently has just exploded, dude. So, and then, okay, I made this other investment the other day. So I invested like $500 into these sticker capsule twos. They're just these little sticker capsules that have this thing called a crown foil in it, which is like this rare kind of sticker.
I saw that on Twitter. I did
that. People want. And by people, I mean China. This is all driven by China. This is all driven by China. And I bought 10 sticker capsule twos at like $11 medium. I bought 70 of them. And right now, those sticker capsule twos that I bought 4 days ago for $10, 4 days ago, are currently selling today for $34. So I currently have tripled my investment on these sticker capsule twos, and I'm holding these things to the moon.
All right, hold the line.
Oh, dude. And then, like, I didn't buy this butterfly. I just traded different skins for it. Like, I traded a different knife for this vanilla butterfly. It's gone up $300 since trading for it. Like, it is, the CSGO market has just exploded. Like, recently, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, if you look in the content creator chat in the Mr. Fruit Discord, I put it in there. A factory new Medusa with four Titan Katowices sold for $130,000.
What the fuck?
The biggest sale ever on Buff. And I feel like that is breaking every other day, because I think it was like 3 days ago, a M4A4 Howitz four Titan Hollows sold for $120,000. Currently, so like we were talking about this. So at one point, these Katowice stickers, you could buy in a capsule for 25 cents. And you could probably buy those on the Steam market in 2014 for $5 to $10 at one point. If you have a sticker Titan Holo in your Steam account, say you played CSGO 2014, forgot about it, and you have one of those stickers in there, you could sell it for $54,000. And it would sell, Blue, I'm telling you, like that. Like, it would sell in a heartbeat. So, like, the CSGO market is experiencing, like, a huge bubble at the moment. Yeah, I was My Wild Lotus has seen a $5,000 profit, and my Howl has seen about a $4,000 to $5,000 profit.
The kids, we're doing this because of CSGO.
Dude, I bought those skins, I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. Did I really just go and do that? Like, what am I doing? And then, dude, I almost bought a field-tested gun. This is the one that hurts. So, like, it was either I bought those two skins for $3,200, or I bought this one op called a Gunganeer and I wanted to get like a 0.20, because at the point you get at a 0.20, it looks like a factory new op. Like you could really not really tell the difference between a factory new 0001, between a field tested 0.20. Like they look exactly the same. I wanted to buy that for $3,200, but I decided to get two skins instead of one. That Gungnir currently, oh my God. A 0.20 Gungnir is selling for $7,500.
Well, actually, so no, like, you made it.
I made more profit. Yeah, I've made a lot more profit, but like now I'm never going to get a Gungnir though. Like, no, that is just never going to happen anymore. Like, that, like, and that's what it, also, is happening with China. These CSGO skins. It's like, if you have a Grail skin or a high tier item that you want in CSGO, like, well, you're not getting it anymore. Cause like, that's like a Honda Civic. You know what I mean? That's an 08 Honda Civic right there. $8,000? That's I know what. Like I could barely justify the 32 I spent on the Wild Lotus and the Howl. Cause like that was nearly what I put down on my Mercedes. Like I can't fucking believe that these are what the CSGO prices are going for. But and then people are saying it's because China's exams and June 4th. So they're saying when their exams end, China's just going full in. Because this is like the first year or like second year that China's really had CSGO be their one of their main kind of FPSs. Did it take so
long? Was it not released?
I don't know. Well, it just wasn't approved because of like blood and terrorists and like there's skulls. Like, so they had to like change a bunch of stuff. Because like Valve has to go and like actively change that stuff. Because yeah, like China's, if there's a skull. Yeah, if there's a skull like skin, like there's a specific skin that the Chinese market gets that's different, that doesn't show a skull.
No, that's but it's only rare.
Yeah, well, no, it's only like on China servers. So like, if you're playing on a China server, it'll like change the skin rather than like having different kind of variations of the skin. That'd be sick though. Would be stonks. But yeah, dude, I have just seen. I mean, my CSGO inventory evaluation, which is wrong. This is wrong. I would probably say my CSGO inventory worth right now is probably like anywhere between like 16 to 17 grand at the moment.
Jeez.
Yeah. And I probably put like maybe 6 to 7 into skins and cases. Which now, is
who wants to
ridiculously
buy some
insane. Yeah, don't buy skins. Cases. Don't buy cases like that. This is not a ad to buy. Don't buy cases.
I am not a financial advisor.
Bad idea. Bad idea. Yeah. I don't go buying CS skins.
Advisor.
I'm making a box opening channel, baby.
Hey, but Sticker Capsule 2's to the moon. I'm holding. Like, if I said Sticker Capsule 2's to the moon and then it exploded and then I sold while it was exploding, that's bad. But I'm holding these fuckers till the moon, baby.
You selling them tomorrow?
No. I wish. I heard. That's a bad idea, though, because they're going to the fucking moon.
That's Pog.
Yeah, so I love CSGO. I just wish I was fucking good at it. Like,
there's a lot of games like that. Like, yeah, like every fighting game.
But, did you guys see, speaking of fighting games, did you guys see the rumor that My Hero Academia is getting like a FighterZ kind of game?
Sure.
I hope so.
Yeah, you guys didn't see that?
Because like, the thing is, we get all these like anime games, fighters, but I'm just not
terrible.
They're so trash.
Yeah, I'm not big on arena fighters, and I know some people love them, and that's great. You got plenty of them, okay? So I don't want to hear. Although I'm gonna be honest,
I put it in subscriber chat.
That new Demon Slayer one does kind of look fuego. I'm gonna get that, but let me leave this.
Yeah, it says rumor: a My Hero Academia fighting game similar to Dragon Ball FighterZ type game is being developed by Arc System Works and could be revealed at E3 this month.
Keep going.
It is unconfirmed yet, so it can take with a grain of salt, but it could be true or false.
If it's by Arc, it's gonna be fire. So you better pray. Because
yeah. I mean, they nailed FighterZ. I just think
there's so much fighters potential.
If they literally just do exactly what they did with FighterZ, like make it look exactly like the anime, and then on top of that, the roster
it's gonna be better because
the roster you have
the work
is
they've done with Guilty Gear lately.
That's true.
Well, I'm saying the roster's so diverse too. Like, there's like, I feel like in Dragon Ball Z that it's always
eight Gokus.
It's like, you know, and in this it's gonna be.
There's a lot of variety.
Deku, like, there's going to be a ton of variety.
There'll still be like three different Dekus, but you're not going to have half the roster being some version of Goku, you know?
Yeah, and doing blasts out of their hands.
Base Goku.
That would be sick. Because like I was saying, I'd love fucking Naruto game like that too. Or
yeah. Like that, right? Hey, Naruto died, so Naruto, or so My Hero could run. Or what is it? What's the one?
You said
yeah.
Run, huh?
I'll take it.
I'm not going to lie. My Hero has been losing me lately, but if a fighting game...
I haven't watched
the new season at all.
If a fighting game is heat, like I'm gonna play.
I did hear the newest episode though was a banger.
I'm still just waiting for that League of Legends one. Give it to me.
League of Legends.
I'm
a little more interested in League of Legends MMO. When's that gonna drop?
Well, when we have grandchildren.
When we're phasing out, sadly.
So I will say, I think I know where my tropical winds are, but it would take a while to dig through storage. So instead, I just found whatever's at the top, which I got.
Where is this all in your house? Is it like in your basement or?
Mainly a closet. Oh, Jesus. Okay, well, I'm ripping everything. Well, so like this is a little packet they gave me when I got invited to Worlds.
That's like your Hogwarts invitation almost.
Yeah, and it still has some like little things for like luggage. Tells me all about that. Cause this is the one where I was second in North America. That was it was gonna be in Hawaii or whatever, and I'm like, high school man. Stupid. Anyway. Then had like my little competitor badge. Christian Miller. Rocking
then.
Go on, son. There's a battle dictionary. They had this because obviously you're fighting international people. So there's like little translations.
Oh, that's cool.
Or
that's
like,
smart.
Or like I want to say, what is your name in Japanese? Onamewa.
Robert.
yes, please. In Portuguese, would be Simon, por favor. Anyway, say this whole thing.
Interesting.
This was the little bag of dice I carried around everywhere with me. Because it was the only thing I could do. And then, sure enough, we got all my dice. We got some pins. We got some counter dice. Some stickers, apparently. I don't know what the fudge I was doing with this thing, but I got this Jahuba
dice.
Jahuba.
I'm about to do my attack roll.
There's everything I have to bring to the match. Still intact. I'm surprised. Then I had my lanyard. This was my flex.
The pins.
On it.
And you hit Mickey's on those?
Hold on, let's see. I don't know if it'll focus.
Oh, there you go.
So there are some, but some of these are ones you only get for like winning. So I had to flex.
Damn, so they saw that, like, oh, yo, check them pins.
But then also, I got all the gym badges, which you only got.
Oh, shit. You beat Blaine?
Well, actually, so they're, like, Pokemon, what were they called? Like
Masters, like, at the tournaments or something?
Well, no, they had, like, sometimes weekly, they'd have, like, Pokemon Leagues. And there was one out in Aurora, I think, at this library that Matt and I would go to every now and then. But you would have to fight the person that runs the whole thing. He's like a masters. And if you would beat him X amount of times, you get the little gym badges. So I collected all eight. But at that, and then I still have some of my deck boxes. And I don't know what decks are in here. Because the unfortunate part is I don't have the Toxicroak deck. Because it wasn't mine. Like, I finished it and I gave it back. Yeah. See, like, so this is what I did. This deck wasn't complete. I was just testing. So I just printed off cards.
The memories.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to play with cards like that, like, in a match?
No. Not like a actual match.
Okay.
Literally, like, you know, 80% of these are.
We need to do run the gauntlet again next Fruit Summit. We need to run
that was fun.
We need to do it again. And this time I'm prepared.
We could actually just all bring decks though, like that, all decks that are pretty viable.
Oh, no, don't give me. Yeah, we're still gonna bring decks because we're gonna.
And then we can also deck build one too.
We're gonna go in, but like I really want to do one of those deck builder things again. That's sick.
Yeah, that was really fun. Except when you're just Datto and you pull that tag team thing.
Oh, like, yeah, Muck or whatever.
Literally all I had to do was put in his deck and then practically won.
Yeah, once it got on the field, it was like, I can't kill that.
Yeah, it was like, well, all right, that was fun. But I think, I don't know where like my old decks are. But then I also have... let's see here. Like, here's... Jeez, Louise. Like, here's one of the ones you'd win a medal. So I won City Championship 2007, 2008. So this would be, like, your trophy for these.
That's cool.
I got a couple of those. And then I have this one. So this one says champion.
You need to have those like hung up somewhere, not in a closet. Those got to be up.
Another.
I got to see that in the background more often.
Well, because so the thing is, there were, in my time, there were different tournaments. Because the reason I was rated number two in the world or in North America was because of the points I accrued. And the way you gain points is by tournaments. But there's like a season. And earlier on, there were these things called Battle Roads, which were like, the simplest tournaments, you had the least amount of points wagered every game. So winning wouldn't get you a whole bunch. It gets you a decent amount, but they're also like weekly for a while. And if you won those, you would get a card that said Battle Royal Champion, and I have those somewhere. Then after those, it was City Championships, where there are less, but more points at stake. Mm-hmm. And then you get this medal. Then there were State Championships, which were only during 2 weekends. So theoretically, you could go to 2 state championships, depending on where they were. Mm-hmm. And then you would get trophies or plaques for that. And then regional championships, which there's only like 5 in the North America. You get trophies. And then nationals, where you get like an actual big old trophy in the world.
Somebody's cup.
Yeah, but so like, for instance, for regionals, I got this plaque. This one's only second place, but I have it up because Dragonite.
What was first? What was the Pokemon on first?
It was all Dragonite. It was just like whatever the season was.
Oh,
so it was
like all Dragonite.
This regional is Dragonite. I have one that has like Luxray. I think I do have one that has Empoleon. And yeah, a whole bunch of different things I got from over the years.
We got to find those wins. Because, like, 3,500 was the last sale. But I don't think you'd ever want to sell those.
No. Well, I do have, like, some duplicates, so I might.
Oh.
I probably still wouldn't, though.
Fuck around and buy some League skins.
Use the money to buy more League skins. No return on those, let me tell you.
Do you guys want to move on to Patreon questions? I know there's not a lot we got to touch on.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Based on literally nothing that we listed.
Yeah. But this is sick, though. I'd rather have that's a story point. Where I learn about my friend than talk about what's coming out on the Twitch, you know? Hmm. All right. We have a question from Flaming Taco Fury. A question sparked by Blue's Butterfinger Goblin.
Oh.
What have you seen someone purchase that made you go, why?
I don't remember specifically. Actually, no, I do. So when I was a kid, I wasn't a Pokemon head. I was a Yu-Gi-Oh head. So I remember going to the flea market, and I remember this dude. And at the flea market, like, these dudes would, like, buy, like, basically it was like the scalper station, right? Like, before mm-hmm. scalpers were a thing. So, like, a scalper who would just, like, mass buy cards and then sell them at a markup. And he would just have like all these cards at the flea market. So I remember going and I was like, I was just a dumb little kid. I would just buy like the cool cards. Like, oh, I got my Blue Eyes White Dragon. Oh, yeah. My Dark Magician. Oh my God, Blue Eyes White
Dragon. I got them all.
And I remember this dude walking up and he just went to go buy like a bunch of, Yatagarasus. Now, for people who don't know, Yatagarasu was one of the most overpowered cards.
Oh. Who doesn't know that one?
Yatagarasu. I don't even know how to even start trying to spell that.
Yatagarasu. It's like was a this, crow looking.
Was this Yu-Gi-Oh?
This is Yu-Gi-Oh. So I was just like, Yatagarasu, why would you? That card's dog shit. Again, I'm the stupid kid who just like, I just buy my dragon cards. I'm a noob. I like dragons. I like the dragon cards. So I was just like, Yatagarasu, what a stupid card to buy. Why would you buy like three of those? Little did I know. I ended up going to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament a couple months down the road. And all the top decks are just Yatagarasu lockdowns. Yatagarasu, one of the most overpowered cards of all time, and I'm just here like, wow. So that dude was right. Holy shit.
Well, that's what I felt like when I saw in that 2015 Evo, whatever, the first time I tuned into competitive Smash and I see HBox win Jigglypuff, I was like, it's like the worst character, dude. Like, I don't understand. It was like,
yeah, like, why would you play that?
Little did I know.
Why purchase? I don't know. Like, I don't ever think I've ever seen somebody buy something so dumb. I was like, why the fuck would you buy that?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess maybe people who bought Cyberpunk. Like,
okay.
Like, all right. Because everybody down, knew, Satan. Seriously, though, like, anybody that bought Cyberpunk, like, why? We all knew it was going to be bad. Like,
I can't really. There's definitely never been that I can recall that comes to memory. Like, in person, I was somewhere and someone bought something. I'd be like, then again, I guess I don't go shopping that much either. So I guess I don't.
I actually do have one, but it was myself when I bought that Attack on Titan mystery box.
At PAX.
Yeah, that was a waste of money.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe whoever bought me a cardboard cutout of Austin Powers and sent that to my P.O. box. To you, I would say why. Yeah, that would probably be up there.
Joshua asks, sorry if this question has been asked before, but if you could go back in time in your youth and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be? Buy Katowice 2014 capsules.
You're talking about that. As far back as I could get someone to convince me to invest money, like give me money to invest money and I'd give them some back. Apple, Tesla, Bitcoin. Yeah.
Just somehow make a lot of money, not some just, life advice.
Yeah, just some way for the night. Just coast for the rest of my
just
life.
Just tell them everything's going to be all right, but do this first. Like, keep doing what you're doing. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, or try and get in like the privately invest in Riot before League goes public or something. I don't know.
What about you, Blue?
That's all I ever think about, and it's just invest in Amazon, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon, that's another one.
Invest in Amazon, invest in Apple when you're just invest, bro.
You know that book company that just sells books? Bet on them, okay? Because that's what they used to be. Like, I remember when Amazon only did books. Like, that's what Amazon was for. If you wanted books, you went to Amazon.
I guess, like, actual life advice. I don't know.
Stay in Pokemon. High school's not that cool.
Just go, dude. All right. You miss nothing. Trust me. Maybe that or... I don't know.
Don't play Destiny 2.
Yeah. That Destiny game, dude. Look, Destiny 1 made you. Destiny 2, just don't. Okay.
Actually, don't play Destiny. Okay, play it for like a year and then slowly wean it off so you can meet cool people. But that's it. You gotta go cold turkey sooner.
But then after that, just give up.
Healing asks, question for Blue. How do you feel about Vault of Glass 2.0? For me, it's pretty fun and I like what they did.
I actually like what they did with Vault of Glass 2.0. You can definitely tell it has not aged that well just because it's like some of the mechanics are so old, but I really like what they do with it and it is really fun. It's too bad that it's too bad like there's like two weapons that are good from that raid and also Vision of Confluence is dog shit, so I'm sad, but you know what, like, it's cool. I enjoyed it.
I didn't know cornflakes was bad. That's upsetting.
Cheese Nips asks, question for Mr. Fruit, can you go more in depth about why you don't like rewatching movies/shows? Personally, I don't think anyone can grasp the full extent of the story in one watch. Rewatching is necessary to pick up random little moments, like foreshadowing or subtle character development. Great example of this would be the tons of Easter eggs in The Truman Show.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the full grasp. Like, catching those little things doesn't really add sometimes to, like, some, like, one of the ones, like, there are certain ones I think that are meant to be rewatched. Like, for instance, like, Inception. Like, there's enough in Inception going back where it's not just, like, a little Easter egg. Yeah, Tenet. Where it's, like, literally it gives you a new perspective. I would say even one of those would be, like, Book of Eli. Rewatching that, knowing, I'm not going to spoil it because I wish no one spoiled it for me. But rewatching it, knowing what you know after it ends, like, it's a completely new experience. But for normal things, I can't focus. I have trouble focusing anyway, and things keeping my attention. And if I know what's going to happen, I just, like, unless it's completely new to me, I pretty much lose all interest. Or even if I remember like 80% of it, as long as I remember big beats and how it ends, usually it loses me, which is why when I said I rewatched 300, that was like, I can't tell you the last time I rewatched. A weird thing for you. Yeah, I can't tell you the last time. And to be fair, like, though,
300 is the first. It's the same on the first watch as it is the 20th watch.
Like, but to be fair, the reason I rewatched it was it had been like a dozen years since I'd seen it. So at that point, I remembered some iconic moments, but it was still like, oh, okay. I know I like this. That. I don't remember all of it. But yeah, I don't know. Like, for some people, they like the fact that they know what's going to happen. But for me, I enjoy having a fresh experience. I wish I liked rewatching things. It would make my life a lot easier, but
yeah, see, I'm weird. I don't like the anxiety of starting something new that, like, okay, like, now I have to finish this if I like it, like that kind of thing. Not Blue Wheatloaf asks, favorite anime openings and endings. Oh god, I mean, You Are My Friend, of course.
That's a good one. You Are My Friend, no meme, that one's up there. Or like the first Shippuden intro.
The first Shippuden intro is hype, dude.
That one slaps.
I didn't like it at first, but that intro slaps hard.
Which I one feel is like, that one? Like the boom.
The heroes.
Yeah. You totally know what I'm talking about. Man.
That shit's so hype. Holy shit.
Honestly, I think my favorite outro is that Jujutsu Kaisen first one. Such a jam. And
I think my favorite opening is the Attack on Titan, where it's like,
I was gonna say pretty much
like a fallen angel. That one, actually,
my favorite.
I like that one.
Sasageyo, that one every time.
Yeah, that is a sweet one.
Which that brings me, I've been watching the new Netflix series Yasuke.
Oh, dude, Flying Lotus like works on that, right? Yeah. Like,
The intro's whack.
Oh,
I don't know if somebody likes it. Literally,
Flying Lotus's production is not tight on it. As I think it's a, I think everything is produced by,
I mean, the music during it,
if I'm not mistaken.
But the intro song?
Oh, maybe I'm wrong on the intro. I'll have to check it out, though.
Just kind of listen to it right now, actually, like while we're talking. Because, like, you kind of get the vibe within the first, like, 20 seconds. And it's just.
How do I spell it?
Yeah. Y-A-S-U-K-E. It's like Sasuke, but with a Y.
Okay, you're going to have to slow down, dude.
Sasuke, but with a Y.
In the front.
Yasuke.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know what it, it's just, I don't vibe with it. It's a very weird.
Yeah, this is produced by Flying Cat and Thunder Lotus. Or Thunder, Flying Lotus and Thundercat.
The rest of the music, they have like cool stuff playing during like action scene stuff.
Dude, what are you talking about? This is dope. This is it. This is Fly Low. Like, yeah, this is what Fly Low is.
Okay. If I'm somebody, I'm sure people like it.
Yeah, I'm down with it. That's actually really, and well, that's just like Fly Low and Thundercat. Like,
yeah, let me listen to it again.
Yeah, this is dope. Yeah, I'm about it. It's just like a, it's just like wavy, chill.
Well, see, the
hip hop.
It's
like,
the singing that gets to me. Like the,
that's Thundercat. Like, Thundercat is very like 80s, like he's cool. I like Thundercat. He's a little different though. He's, if you look up Thundercat's music, he's definitely not for everyone. I don't like Thundercat's music. Like,
for me, it's
because Flylo and Thundercat kind of collab, it's tight.
The beats during the whole thing. Sick. For me, it was like, Philo. Okay, this isn't bad. And then the singing starts, and I'm just like,
yeah, the same for me. Philo's all the production on that one. He's dope. He's like one of my favorite producers. He's sick. So I've been meaning to check out that anime. I'm glad it's cool.
It is a dope anime, though.
Is it like sub and dub? Like,
it was made for English dub, I believe. Okay. I'm just then watching English like dub.
That. Yeah, that's what I'll watch then. Penguins asks, what is your favorite archetype from a game that you remember loving?
Archetype? What do you
mean? Yeah, like
a... Well, I guess like a kind... Like a way to play that's become staple, I guess. Like, I'm assuming like a class, for instance. Like...
I don't know, like a battle rifle play. From Halo? Like, I guess, is that an archetype?
I guess so. Like a burst like a rifle?
Burst rifle, I guess. I don't know.
An FPS. I always kind of seem to go, no matter what the game is, if there's classes, I always seem to go a bit bruisery, tanky. So I guess those kind of archetypes. Or snipers, I guess. I don't know.
You have any
ideas? What was Scout Rifle mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Battle Rifle, I guess, if that's one. Mr. Slippy Fist asks, have y'all ever gotten the sex talk from your parents, or did you just learn from watching Animal Planet?
No, they never told me anything.
Yeah, they never really told me anything.
To this day, they haven't told me, so.
Yep, same. I never had to talk with my parents.
Like, my dad was never like, hey, son, like, the penis. Like, I'd like, never. Like,
he was like, so your pen goes in the bajimbus, all right?
I don't remember, like, when I learned, though. You know, like, I don't remember that.
Well, the bizarre thing.
I think for the most part, people just wing it, like, you know?
Well, and nowadays, with this fucking thing, you know, kids, yeah, like. Lord.
Well, the bizarre thing is, like, they pulled me from sixth grade sex ed class. They didn't even.
Yeah, that's where I learned first.
But I didn't even learn from there. And then they didn't bother telling me anyway. I don't know what they expected. I guess I kind of managed as I went, but
yeah, you kind of just learn from the internet. I think, I guess we got older, we kind of learned how to navigate the internet better than our parents. So that's how I learned.
I do remember third grade. Someone's like, dude, like I know how to make a baby. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, dude, like my brother told me. I was like, what is it? And he's like, so like, the dude like has something and you like put it in this thing, and I'm like, what? And then he's like, yeah, and then there's like this spray can and of like this stuff, and then you just like spray it, and then it's like, that's how you make a baby. Because I remember visualizing that. I was trying to figure it out. I was like, what are you doing? And there's a spray can. I'm like, what the fudge? So yeah, that's who I am today, you know? That's how I thought babies were made.
Yeah, but you didn't either. You didn't get talked at all.
Nope. School did that for me, to be honest. Yeah. But even then, school was not like,
yeah, like
particularly helpful. American education system, not very helpful when it comes to sexual education. No, gonna be
of course not.
I remember that I was so just out of it. I'm at seventh grade. Somebody pulled the like, I'm gonna say this thing, and then you say bait, you know, like, what do you catch it with? Like fish bait.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. and then they go to like I master, and I'm like, oh, I masturbate. And it was like, oh, and I'm like, I don't get it. I didn't even know what masturbating was. I had never heard that word before.
Like, neither I just, yeah,
just super suppressed sexually, I guess.
Dadams asks, if you were to create your own type of cryptocurrency, what would the cryptocurrency be called? Harambe coin, or just some fucking meme, like,
bless,
just something like a meme that a bunch of people can attach to.
Ain't the same. We are where we are because Harambe died, sent into turmoil. Maybe like Eververse Silver.
The Destiny crypto.
I have no idea. I would name it something like iconic but simple. like
something that I can take your money with.
Yeah, like Forever
Coin. I'd name it Ponzi scheme coin.
Like yeah, like Forever Coin, or I don't know.
By you, Blue.
Dude. I name it the Dream Coin. I would get so many. I would scam so many Zoomers.
So many stands. Yeah. I love Dream.
I buy it.
He didn't cheat.
Yeah, that was like the worst apology, non apology I think I've ever seen somebody try and do.
Well, and then haven't you heard about like the more recent development?
Yeah. No, that he like came out and said that's yeah. Why like I'm saying like he came
dude,
out.
Also, I'm gonna say something. That dude straight up tweets. I'm probably gonna heat for this because the stands are gonna come for me. That dude straight up tweets like Trump, dude. And that unsettles me.
Does he? I can't say it.
He does, dude.
Like just that kind of. You can't be doing this. Sad. Like sad.
Yeah, and I'm just like, bro. I feel like people who tweet like that just all have the same personality. So I'm a little unsettled by it. I'm gonna be honest with you, Chief.
Lil John Boy asks, what one fast food place would you eat at if you only could eat there for the rest of your life?
Dude, Taco Bell.
I think we've said this. Life. Yeah, Taco Bell would be mine.
You like Chick-fil-A.
And no, Mr. Fruit, no.
It's the only drive-thru I really.
You gotta wean it off, Mr. Fruit.
Well, you know what? I'll have you know, I am 5 days clean of actually sticking to a diet.
Good for you.
Without. Because I talked about this. I dieted from like November to February or October to February. Lost like 23 pounds. In 1 month of just eating not great dinner every time. I would still eat, like I told you, like I literally every meal except dinner would be right on the diet. I gained 17 pounds.
No way.
Yeah. So I've given up on the ideal body because my metabolism, I would literally have to starve myself.
That sucks.
But
hey, not starve, intermittent fasting, okay? There's a difference.
But I know I also just physically feel better when I eat better. That's what I'm trying to motivate myself with. We'll see how long it lasts. Plus, you know, I have 9 days until my wedding, so should probably
Yeah, dude. I have not tried on that soup.
Okay, well, at this point you better hope it doesn't need to be tailored, because good luck finding someone who's gonna tailor it in a week.
Yeah, we're here. No, I mean, I put the jacket on. I'd sue the pants. Like, it'll be fun. Z-Train asks, have you guys ever watched an anime and liked it so much that you continued reading the manga before the season's released?
That's
me and Invincible.
Yeah, I saw someone sent me, like, this is how far they've gotten into Invincible. And they had, like, all the manga stacked. And it's like... like this much out of like a stack of this.
No manga way.
A comic, but you know what I mean.
But yeah. Sorry, you know what I mean.
Same idea.
I guess mine would just be the RE0. That's the only time I ever bought. For like Claire, it would be My Hero.
This one's from Z Dog. I don't know if I've read this one. If mass space transit becomes available in our lifetime and you're given the opportunity to get a one-way ticket to Mars and be part of the first colony, would you go? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I'm not living like a sounds fucking pilgrim horrible. In the 1700s. Fuck
that's
that.
What I'm saying, dude.
Fuck that.
Depends. Like, am I already going out? You know, like, am I 70 on my way out? Maybe. At that point.
Fruit is like, that depends. How is this going to affect my channel? Am I going to get a lot of views from going to Mars? Yeah,
wait
a
second.
Do I get the vlog up there?
What's the upload
Mars,
speed?
My truth. Ricardo the Heart asks, if you lived in the Pokemon world as an NPC, what region and city would you make your home on to live in for the rest of your non-protagonist days? That's a good question.
I can't remember the name of the city, but it's got a banger theme. I'd just be sitting there. I'd be out in the streets like all day jamming.
I would probably do Saffron City.
Big bustling city?
Yeah. You know, big bustling city, good jobs, you know, good Pokemon gym, you know.
Who doesn't love Sabrina?
Where kids get their bikes, right?
I think so. Can't remember, but I think you're right.
Plus, it's a stage on Smash, so I get to watch Smash characters fuck each other up.
Like, all the time. Just up in the air like that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That Donkey Kong?
What? Oh, is that Donkey Kong up there? DK!
You just hear the music. Donkey Kong!
What did you pick?
Just some NPC out in the streets.
You gotta pick the city.
I know, I'm trying, but I can't remember the music.
Fudge. What gen?
I think it's like Gen 5.
Do you have an idea, Blue? While he's thinking.
The question?
What like NPC world would you live in? If you were like an NPC in the Pokemon world, like what city would you like to live in? Or like region?
Dude, Alola's so sick. I'm going Alola.
Driftville.
That's like
city.
The Hawaii, right?
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's so tropical and everyone's so nice.
Yeah.
And there's such a fucking crazy variety of Pokemon in Alola, too.
So many good city songs.
What's the one with like the creepy pasta story behind it?
Lavender Town.
Oh yeah. I wanna be in the town next to the Gen 8 gyms. So I'm trying to sleep and they're Dynamaxing. Yeah, you're just like such a banger.
We have a question. Last question here from Jamie is question for Rob. Are you excited for the Baku Grand Prix on Sunday? And have you watched the practice session today? Mercedes are very much off the pace today. Oh, that's good. Hamilton ended the whole second behind Perez and pole. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, good. We don't like Mercedes. I mean, it's not that I don't like Mercedes. Like, I love Mercedes. Like, I just don't like getting into a sport. And I just immediately like the team that's winning. That's weird. Okay. And you think you're a Patriot fan, Rob? Yeah, but we weren't winning, but I became a fan, right? We just happened to win the year I became a fan. All right? But yeah, no, I haven't watched any practice session. I've literally been so busy this morning. And I like to watch qualifying. I don't really watch practice, but I'll watch qualifying. But yeah, it's going to be a cool race. Baku is a cool track. And also, yeah.
Deku's rival. So that's crazy.
Oh, Baku.
Bakugo. Is that does
well,
it?
Well, yeah, that does it for the questions. And that will probably do it for the podcast. We'll have a special wedding episode next week, kind of.
Yeah, and maybe we'll touch on some more topics we're supposed to.
Yeah, and we'll have Shark and Bless joining us for the next podcast, too. They'll be at my house, so we'll be hanging out.
Gang, gang. That was GG Over Easy, episode 87. Yes.
Dude, we're almost actually at 100. Is that weird now?
We got to do something. Oh, that's what it reminded me. I was going to bring it up. We mentioned it, like, I think around before, like, COVID started. But I want to get back to, like, trying the idea of doing, like, certain things. And then we have a podcast episode talking about our experience, like deprivation tank, you know, doing that. Or, like, cryotherapy.
Yeah.
Or doing, like, going to the... Just
yeah, now that we can
activity.
Do that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we can do that, though. So we can get back to doing that.
Yeah. Just don't do this. Maybe we'll start our first one for episode 100 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But with that, that's the podcast. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. You can find me everywhere at Christian Miller Pokemon TCG.
Pog.
You can find me everywhere at Mr. Hat.
Pog, you can find me everywhere at Dork Shadows Flashlight.
Whoa. Pog? And thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.